choose a simple stall. Why wander poor and homeless, the King and Lord of all? Why heal a lonely beggar? Why cause the blind to see? The light of all creation
missed an opportunity in your life? Think about the opportunities you've missed. For example, I can certainly remember some missed opportunities in my life, but for some strange reason, I can't remember why I missed it. It's a strange thing, but we're kind of like that, aren't we? We can remember the missed opportunities, but not the reasons why. I read about a man in the newspaper several years ago who was estranged from his daughter at birth. He had kind of lost track of his former family, and off he went into his own life and lived his own life down out of another state. Years later, this same dad was in a business luncheon. And he was there with a group of people, and they were talking, and these were some new folks, and there was this girl that was there that he was strangely attracted to, almost connected with her, didn't understand what it was, and wasn't long before he soon realized that this was his daughter that he had not seen. He'd never actually met her. The last time he saw her, she was still a baby. And he thought that night about all of the missed opportunities he had. He could have seen her grow up. He could have seen her take her first step, perhaps, or he could have at least heard her speak her first words, or maybe somehow or another he could have sent her some Christmas presents or showed her a little bit of attention, but he totally was estranged from her. He missed the opportunity, and now it's over. the opportunity is gone. I'm sure we've all missed opportunities. Maybe things that we could have done, we wish we would have done. If we could turn the clock back, if we could change time, how different life would be with the perspective that we have on this side. Here we're introduced to a man by the name of Ananias. The name Ananias, we find it two other times in the book of Acts. One time we find the name Ananias was a man that had lied with his wife Sapphira, and when he lied, God took his life. We find another time in which Ananias was mentioned as a high priest. And of course, this was a man that spoke against Paul and what Paul did. But here we find this man was a godly man. Here was a man that God had a plan for. God wanted to do something with him. Our theme this year has been serve the Savior. Serving the Savior. What kind of servants are we? I want to preach to you today on the subject of a servant's reward, because truly to serve God is a very rewarding experience. I cannot think of anything I would rather do than serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ananias was a man who understood that. He realized that to be used by God, what a blessing it is. I wonder how many of you in here are missing the opportunities to serve the Lord. I wonder how many of you are so busy. You know, I've had people say something like this. Well, you know that I just wish that I could have God use me. I wish that somehow or another that God would use me. And it just seems like He doesn't use me. I wonder if the reason why is because we miss the opportunities. You see, life has this way of drawing us into it. It has this way of getting us so involved in life and living and trying to achieve things and get things and survive and get past this and get past that, that we're missing opportunities for God. Ananias was a man of action. There are three actions that we find in his life. Because Ananias was rewarded for what God wanted him to do. I want you to write down some notes inside your bulletins, a little insert there. And I want us to realize that these three actions are actions that can help all of us to be an effective servant for Jesus Christ. Number one, there's a readiness to serve. A readiness to serve. I'm going to give the points to you. Number two is there's a response to the call. And number three, there is a rejoicing in the work. There's a readiness to serve. I was listening yesterday real spiritual thing in Saturday, the March Madness. And I was, you know, and I kind of, what I do is I don't just sit and watch. I kind of do this and do that, and I'm doing all these different things. And so I was kind of listening, in and out, and I heard Coach John Wooden I guess they probably had him on a cassette. And one of the things they were saying in here, that it said a lot, it said everything that I want this message to get across. Here's what it said. He said, I've had several basketball games where we have been outscored on the scoreboard, but I felt like we actually won the game. He said, then I've had other games where we outscored our opponent, but we lost the game. He said, it's all about preparation. And I got to thinking about that. I said, that's it. Preparation. You know the reason why that most of us really miss out on serving? We're not prepared. We're not prepared for it. I mean, we miss it because the opportunity is missed because we're not prepared. How many times have we ever been in this situation where we could have handed a track out, we didn't have it. We could have pulled out our Bible and told someone, but we didn't have our Bible. We could have told someone, but we're too running from here to there in so much of a big hurry that we missed the opportunity. We've done that before. We all have. Preparation's the key. And the truth of the matter is, this morning I want us to realize that God is challenging us through this man's life that if we're going to be an effective servant for Christ, we need to have the first action in place, and that is a readiness to serve. Are you ready to serve? I mean, what is it? What was it that made the difference? Well, I suggest to you there are three things. Number one, he was active. You know something I learned a long time ago is if a person is going to serve God, even as a pastor, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone here, but I always try to find the one that's the busiest because I know that if I ask them to do it, they'll get it done. They're already active. You know, God calls those who are already busy. It's the way God works. Here was a man in verse number 10. The Bible said that this man was unique, though. He was active, but there was something about this man's life. I don't know if you realize, but God made an announcement real loud in verse 10. We'll miss. Here's what he said, a certain disciple. What's that? What's that mean? Well, the reason why that's so significant is because this certain disciple, to be a disciple in those days was almost a sure death. It was almost certain you're going to die because you're a Christian. You see, we don't live like that today. Here's what happened. They had the Caesar, the Roman Caesars, and they were the Roman Empire was in charge, and people would bow down to the kings and worship the kings and deify man, and so they would bow down to these kings. And if anyone would defect from the bowing down to the king, they could lose their lives. They were considered traitors. And to follow Jesus meant that you said that Caesar wasn't God, Caesar wasn't the king, Jesus was the king, and you were a defector. Ananias was that kind of man. He was committed. He was already committed in his heart. You see, here was a man, he was no Sunday morning Christian only. No, not Ananias. He was committed even if it meant to die. You could count on him. When soul winning time came around, you knew he was going to be there if nobody else was. When it come time to help somebody else out, Ananias would be the first to step up to the plate. God knew that Ananias was that kind of man. In fact, Paul mentioned about him later after he got saved. Paul mentioned over in Acts later, he said he was a devout man according to the law. That meant he was obedient to what God said. He lived according to the word of God. Acts 22 verse 12 says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." You see, he was an active. He wasn't just kind of laying back, being a pew potato in some local synagogue. He was actively serving the Savior. But second of all, notice this man. He was attentive. He heard what God said. Being attentive is key. I think the reason why we miss the opportunity is because we're not listening. You see, God doesn't speak in loud and dramatic voices. It is in that still, small voice, that little urging, that place when God speaks in such a way that maybe it's through a message, or maybe it's through somebody who's asking a question. Maybe it's through maybe the prodding of a child. Whatever it is, God speaks in a still, small voice. And the question is, are we listening? Are we attentive? I read about a man years ago who was walking downtown the streets of New York City at noontime with a friend. He was walking along the street, and as he was making his way down the street, they were talking, and he stopped for a moment. He turned to his friend and said, "I hear a cricket." He says, "A cricket? How can you hear a cricket? I mean, there's car horns blowing. We're in the middle. It's noontime in New York City, and you hear a cricket." And he said, "I'm telling you, there's a cricket." They walked down one block, went across the street, and over out in front of this little apartment complex was a shrub. He reached down, he started digging through the shrubs, and he found this cricket down inside the shrub. His friend was amazed. "How in the world could you hear a cricket in the middle of all this noise?" He said, "My ears are no different than yours." He said, "It's all about what you're listening for." His friend said, "What?" He says, "Let me show you." He reached in his pocket, and he threw out some coins on the street. Everybody turned around to look at the coins. Isn't it amazing? What you listen for is what you'll hear. And what God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention. Are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wonder how many times has God spoken to you and you're not listening. I wonder about right now. You know, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm preaching now. Why would we come to church and not listen? Your time is valuable. Why waste your time? Come and hear what God has to say. Attention. He was attentive. When God spoke, he listened. And I wonder how many missed opportunities when maybe God might be speaking. You say, "Go over and tell your neighbor about the Easter musical and invite him. Why don't you go over there and help him out? Why don't you do this?" I wonder how many missed opportunities are we just losing out on because we're so wrapped up in everything else in our world. When one day down the road, I think we're going to look back and say, "I missed that opportunity. I missed this opportunity. I missed this opportunity to be with my children. I missed this opportunity to be with my wife. I missed this opportunity to help this person out. I missed this opportunity to do that." Man, I have missed a whole bunch of opportunities. See, there needs to be a readiness, preparation to serve. And then there's one more available. How available are we? He said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord. Use me. I'm available. Lord, you're looking for somebody in Solano County? You look for somebody who wants to serve? Use me. I'll be that one. You look for someone that wants to greet out here in the lobby? I'll be that one. Lord, if you want me to help and work in children's church or junior church, Lord, I'll be that one. I'm available." You see, the truth of the matter is, like John Butler says, he said these words, "Opportunity is God's part, readiness is our part." That is so true. Opportunity is God's part, and I think often God brings us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and we miss it. Several years ago, I was out door knocking. And knocked doors for a while, and you ever done this, I'm out knocking doors, and I get kind of got beat up a little bit, so I said, "You know, I'm going to switch gears." I door knocked for a while, and I kind of got beat up. You know, some people weren't listening, and people were, "No, I'm not interested," and you kind of wore your spirit down. I was by myself, and I just said, "Well, I'm going to switch gears," and so I just said, "All right, I'm going to go make some follow-up visits." And so I got in my car, and I remember driving to the other side of town, and I did a follow-up visit, and I was looking for a particular house, and there was like three houses in this, and I thought I was at the right house, so I parked this one house, and it was like three doors down. And so I'm kind of looking, I guess I probably looked like I was lost, and I was looking at this, and I was looking at the house, and two people came up and said to me this. Two people came up to me and said, "Hi, sir, are you looking for someone? Can I help you find someone?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking for so-and-so." Now look, did God give me the opportunity? I could have given him a track. That's what I was supposed to be doing, right? And so I didn't give him, and so I'm still looking. I said, no, I'll find it. And I went down, here's another guy. I said, "Sir, can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking for so-and-so." "Well, what are you looking for him for?" You know, if I was ready, I would have said something like, "Let me tell you, this person needs Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me tell you how that works." But I missed the opportunity. Oh, see, I still remember the opportunity. I don't know why I missed it, but I remember the opportunity. God provides the opportunity. The question is, are we ready? The very first action of every effective servant is, number one, they have a readiness to serve. A readiness. Are you ready? What if God were to ask you to do something today? What if God were to ask you to go out here and hand a gospel tract out to someone? Would you be ready? What if God were to ask you to maybe work in a junior church? Would you be ready? That's number one. Number two, the second action I notice here is the response to the call. Jesus had said these words, and I think most of us understand that. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now there's a response to the call, and here's the response that in the call that God gives very clear directions to Ananias. Here's what he says. He says, "I want you to understand that I want you to do something." And by the way, God's call oftentimes and most of the time is very specific. Number one, he told him where he wanted him to go. He told Ananias, he said, "I want you to go to a place in Damascus called a street called Straight." A street called Straight. There he was to go to a specific place on that street to the house of Judas. And there was a man waiting there for him. This place didn't seem like much of a place. You know, it's funny because pastors like to be, you know, they want to be in a place that everybody knows about. No one would know about the place called Straight. What kind of street is that? Can you imagine it? Straight Baptist Church. But nobody lives there. It's not much. In fact, let's look at a video. This is modern day. I want you to see this place called Straight because it's still called Straight today. Let's just kind of look at it real quick. Can we put that up, Mark, for us? I don't know if we can get just a kind of a random shot. We may run it a couple times. It's pretty quick. You might mute it. But I wanted you to be able to see it. Yeah, there we go. We'll blow it up a little bit. Sometimes we don't always get really good video, but we'll try to do this one. I want you to see it. Okay. All right. It's a really good place, you can see. A lot of spiritual darkness in that place, that's for sure. Are we going to be able to get it? Okay. This is the place. An out-of-the-way place. Ananias was asked by God to go to this place. House of Judas is not there, but Straight's still there. In fact, it's known for that, for this event in the Bible, even today, there in Damascus. Not much to it. May lack, I mean, there's nothing there. It may lack the luster and the beauty of what many places are, but that's where Paul was told, or Ananias was told. That's where Saul was waiting for him. And you know, sometimes I think people get the idea that when you go to serve, that why should I go serve in the nursery? Why should I go serve in the bus ministry? Or why should I go serve in this? Or why should I serve there? Why not over here? Why not over there? Why not over here? And why not? Look, why don't we just decide we're going to serve where God wants us to serve? Specific place. God told him where he wanted him to go. I got to be honest, I love living here in California. I've been here over 18 and a half years now at this church. I love it here. But if you were to ask me 18 years ago, where would you choose? This would not be my place. Not because there's anything wrong with this place. This just wouldn't have been where I would have chosen. You know something I learned? God does the choosing in the best places for you. I mean, you know, if I had my choice, I probably would have chosen, I don't know, Hawaii. Or maybe Palm Springs, where there's 100 golf courses all the way around. 9-hole Baptist church or something. I really don't know. But can I tell you this? The place that God chooses is always the right place for you. And our problem is we're sitting around waiting for the right place, wondering, well, I have to be in agreement that I'm enamored with that place. Oh, no. You know what I found out? Many places take on a whole new meaning when you begin to serve there. All of a sudden, it means something to you. This place called Straight wasn't much, but it's where God wanted him to be. So God tells him where to go. And next of all, he tells him who he wants him to see. It was Saul. Now, that's an unlikely candidate. Why in the world would you want to go see a guy that kills Christians? Why would you want to go see a guy like that? I mean, after all, I can think of some worse and some better people to talk to. Sounds kind of like some people we go soul winning. You know, we say, well, man, I don't want to go see that. And I wonder how many times has God asked of us that we might go talk to people and we say, oh, no, I couldn't talk to them. There's no way. Give me a nicer guy. You know what? God knows exactly whom he wants us to see. Saul was the one that he was to see. In fact, it was kind of interesting. Ananias kind of threw up some argument on why to go see him because he said, Lord, don't you know he's killing Christians? Don't you know he's out here, he's taking them, putting them in jail, and some beating them up, some killing them? Don't you think the Lord knew that? Don't you think God knows whom you're supposed to go see? Do you think God knows where they are? Look, if he lays on your heart to go be a witness to somebody, don't you think God has a plan for that too? You see, the truth of the matter is, every one of us needs someone that cares. You see, Jesus cares. That's why he came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. That's why he was crucified there, bleeding and dying for our sins, that we could go to heaven. It's not because we're Catholic or Baptist or anybody else for that matter. You can put any labels you want. We don't go to heaven because of that. We go to heaven because we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, because he died for us and he rose again the third day. And he was to go tell this man who had met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was going up there to kill Christians. That was what he was going to do, is arrest them and get rid of them. And on the way, he met Jesus. And when he got there, in the way, in the first part of these verses, verses 1 to 9 tells us about that, he was struck with blindness and he had to have someone lead him to this house of Judas. Now, something interesting, God had already set all this up anyway. God already had Judas ready, and God already had Ananias. He was getting Ananias ready, and God was leading Paul into the right places. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes courage to live for God. You know, Ananias lived for God, and he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. So he tells him who he wants him to see. And then write this one down. The third thing, he tells him what he wants him to do. Now, he is asked to do the impossible. You ever been asked to do the impossible? I know you have, because some of you tell me all the time about, well, my boss asked me to do this, it's impossible. My boss asked me to do this, it's impossible. You ever been asked to do something impossible? This is an impossible assignment. He was asked to talk about to someone who was very difficult, because honestly, I believe Ananias was scared to death of Saul. And not only that, but he was asked to do the impossible. Here's what he was asked to do. He says, I want you to go down and I want you to restore the sight of Saul. Well, now, here's how I think. In my mind, I'm thinking, this guy killed all these people. You know what I would say? Let him stay blind. But that's not his heart. Ananias said this, Lord, here am I. I'll go. And he went. Look, hey, let me tell you this. You've got to have courage to go do this. And you've got to have a lot of faith. He had faith. Because the truth of the matter is, he realized that going down there and he's going to now try to restore sight, he couldn't do it anyway. He needed God to do that. See, the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people who are in blindness right now, and there's nothing we can do about it, but we can sure go and tell them how their sight can be restored through Jesus Christ. In fact, God gives you and I the ability to be able to accomplish His will when we need it on the time of service. You know, I think sometimes here's how we do this thing. And we miss the boat. We do this. Here's what we'll say. We'll say something like this. Well, you know, I really would like to live for God. I really like to serve God, but I just can't. Well, can I remind you of this? Anything God asks you to do, He supplies the divine enablement to do it. He never asked anyone to stand and preach a message He didn't supply the need to be able to preach the message. He never asked anyone to stand and sing that He does not supply the ability to stand and sing. He never asks you to do anything. He does not provide you the opportunity and the ability to be able to do it. That's how God works. So number one, there's a readiness to serve. Number two, there's a response to the call. And thank God that here was a man that responded to the call and did what God wanted him to do. What is it God wants you to do? I just happen to believe that I've been praying this week, and God really laid this on my passage on my heart and this message on my heart. I just happen to believe there's probably some people in the room here that are missing opportunities to serve. You're missing opportunities with your family. You're missing opportunities to be a witness to them. Maybe you're missing opportunity just to do something for God, that something that maybe moves you out of your comfort zone, but gives you the ability that you can help somebody else. You're missing the opportunity. Here's what God says. When I call, will you respond? And then there's one more. It's rejoicing in the work of God. I will tell you this. I believe that Ananias, when this was all said and done, and he looked and he saw later, like it said in verse number 20, Saul is in the synagogues preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Ananias said, I'm sure glad I did what God asked me to do. I believe he was excited. Wow! Here was the mighty Saul who God humbled and made him Paul. He's in the synagogues. He's preaching. And Ananias was instrumental in getting him, pointing him in the right direction because he responded to God's call. I don't read anything else in Ananias' life. Outside of connection with Paul and how he helped Paul, I don't read anything else. You know, Ananias, when he got to heaven, I'm sure that he was rewarded with many things. Because of what he did, many people won to Christ through Paul's preaching because he was a man that responded to God. There's some rejoicing there. There was rejoicing not only now, but I believe when he got to heaven, all of the people that were reached through Paul's ministry, I believe he sat there and said, wow, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. You see, it's something that God, how He uses us. It's amazing. I know Ananias didn't wait. He seized the opportunity. I don't really think he had any idea what this meant. But I think he realized later what God was doing. What was he rejoicing about? Well, there's some things he was rejoicing about. Number one, Paul was praying. You know, do you realize that Paul, according to the passage of Scripture, said Paul's over there praying? So here's Paul. He's over there praying. Here's Ananias. He's over here. And God sends him over to this street called Straight, where Paul was praying in this house. And God was orchestrating, putting all this together. Do you realize how exciting that is? I think it's an amazing thing. You guys are really quiet today. I can't even get a grunt out of some of you. Amen and amen. Look, let me tell you something. God is really good to use us. And I'm so thankful how God uses every one of us when we surrender to Him. It's exciting to me to know that God's working in such a way that here, do you know this? There might be some people right now in our communities, right around, I'm talking to Vacaville, Fairfield, Solano County area, they might be at home right now praying, God, I'm looking for some answers. Do you know where I can get any? There might be some family members that you have, they're praying, they're saying, you know, I've got to have some answers. I just lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where can I get help? Who has the answer? We know that God does. We don't have the answer, but we know the one that does. I wonder how many people are around like that. Pray. Paul represents those who are in need. And then secondly, right in the revelation of Paul, God had told Ananias that Paul had a vision and that he expected, that Paul was expecting him to arrive. But that'd been something Ananias said, well, you know what? I'm really busy right now. My kids, they're just kind of pulling up my time and I've got a lot of things I got to do. And, you know, the boss is really kind of on my back about getting things done. And I just don't think I can make it. I'm going to be really tired at the end of the day. I wonder if Ananias would have missed that. You know what God told Saul? He said, Ananias is going to come. Ananias is coming to take care of you. It's kind of funny. How many times have I had these people? I'll go out and try to knock doors and meet people and, you know, and try to help people and stuff like that. And there's some people that I keep following up on. You know, like even when I go to their door, they just know it's me knocking. In fact, it's kind of funny. This one family that was coming to our church, and they still come some, and they were coming. I would knock on their door, and you know, and I would say, you know, and I knocked on their door literally for 3 years before they ever came. And I didn't want to wear out my welcome, but they were always really open. Oh, yeah, come by anytime. And I said, okay, so I'll come by the next week. Come by the next week. And then after a while, you know, I didn't want to wear out my welcome, even though they were saying I didn't. I just want to make sure I didn't, so I backed off a little bit. And I go by about once a month, and then they finally came. And they came to church, and then I went back over, and I knocked on the door. Here's what they said. We knew you were coming by. And I said, is it a knock? No, we just knew you were coming by. I want that. I want that. I want people to know that we care enough to come by. They were expecting. Paul was expecting Ananias. I wonder how many people are expecting us. I wonder how many people are expecting us there. I wonder how many people are expecting us to come and tell them about Christ. And we're missing the opportunities. We're missing it. Maybe it's a dad. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a cousin, nephew, brother, someone. And we're missing the opportunity. God says that here was a man waiting who could be a great servant for God. And then there was the blindness of Paul. And I believe this blindness, quite frankly, when I read about the rejoicing, I believe that was a blessing to Ananias, because at this point, Saul had to get help. Otherwise, I think Ananias, if he'd have thought, when Saul sees me, he'll probably kill me. But at this point, I believe it was a blessing to him to know that he was going to need God. That was a blessing. Oh, you know, what I've learned in the ministry, and Brother Button, you can say this with me, we both have learned this through the ministry, and look, no matter how long we've been in the ministry, we're learning every day how much we don't really know. But one thing I've learned is that God does things perfectly and in His timing, according to His will, that I don't understand. But it's a blessing to know God's in it. That's what he was seeing. God was in it. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care. You know, I'm not all about building a big mega church. We're not about building a mega church here. We're just about having God in what we do. We'll let God do the building. Amen? That's what it's about. It's about what God wants to do with us, how God uses us. I would much rather have a church our size where God's in it than 10,000 where God's nowhere near it. I want God in this place, and I want God in what we do. You see, the actions of a servant, one who's effective, is clear. There has to be a readiness to serve. And here was a man that was ready to serve. How ready are you? How ready are you? You say, well, I'm not quite ready. Then I want to ask you this. Then when are you going to get ready? And if you're not ready, why not? What's it going to take? Because as a pastor, I want to help you to get ready, because you're missing a blessing of serving. And then there's a response to the call. What if God were to speak to your heart today? You say, I'm ready. What if God were to speak to you right now? What if God were to say, right now is your time? Now's the time. This is what I want you to do. I'll tell you this, when you do that, then there'll be some rejoicing in the work. Life will take on a whole new meaning. See, I don't apologize for preaching on serving. Because we're not serving a church and a pastor. We're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the focus. It's serving to please Him. And the more we please Him, the greater the rejoicing will be in our hearts. Don't miss the opportunity. Maybe here today and you miss the opportunity to get saved. I think of as many times of the things that I've missed opportunities. But I don't want to miss them anymore. Today is another day of opportunity. Get saved today. Turn to Christ today. Let someone take you in a private room and open the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And no, we're not trying to baptize you because you're not saved by being baptized. No, we're not trying to, twist your arm and make you be a member of the church. We just want to point you to Jesus Christ and show you how to receive Christ as Savior. Don't miss the opportunity. And if you're saved and you've been baptized, don't miss the opportunity to join the church. I've thought about this, and I have strange thoughts every now and then, and I think it's just, I was sitting reading my Bible one day, and I thought about this. And I don't know, it's just the way I think every now and then. I know it's a little bit weird, but I thought about all the times that I've missed doing what God wanted me to do, and I thought about how much ground the devil's gotten. Because you realize the more that we don't do, the more ground the devil takes over. He just like moves in that territory. And the less that I do, the more he takes over my life. And I've said, Lord, please, let me conquer back some of that land for you. Lord, I don't want to let the devil get a stronghold in my life. I don't want the devil to get in. I don't want the devil to get in my life. I don't want to miss the opportunity of serving you, of doing something for you. I don't want to die and do nothing and be a washout for Jesus Christ. And God reminds me of the fact, oh yeah, we've lost some land, but there's still very much land to be possessed. May God help us to stop missing the opportunity. Do like Ananias, seize the opportunity. Ananias, hear my Lord. I'm here. He learned it well, because so did Abraham say that. So did Moses say that. So did others in the Bible. They've said that, hear my Lord. Isaiah said, hear my Lord, send me. What about you? May God help us today. Because there's a great reward in this life serving Him. Heavenly Father.